to the Briz Be'ita Vizmana B'Shal Teva Mitzlachas, and her parents, grandparents should have Nachas, the Kedushin from this child and from all the grandchildren and all the children. Also, an eschus for Gilad Ben Sara, that he should be released from captivity. This week's parasha is Balak. Balak is the parasha that the Rambam tells us is proof that Mashiach is going to come. The Rambam says this in his Sefer Mishneh Torah, and he says this in Hilchos Melachim concerning the 12th principle of faith, which is the Ani Mamin Bevias HaMashiach V'Yafal Pi Sheyisma Meya Im Kol Zeh Achaka Loi B'Chol Yom Sheyovi. And many have asked the Rishonim and Tzadikim in every generation, is where does the Torah explicitly tell us that such a thing is true? Perhaps it just means that there will be some utopian era in the future, as many want to believe, but it's not really that there's going to be an individual who is a descendant of David HaMelech. Says the Rambam, one who does not believe, Misha Einoi Ma'amin, someone who doesn't believe in the coming of Mashiach and does not anticipate his coming, he says, is not only a denier in all the Nevi'im, because the Nevi'im are full of Yemais HaMashiach, Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, Treyaser, and so on. But he's also a kofer in Torah and in Moshe Rabbeinu. And Mefarshim ask on the Rambam, what does he mean, Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu, as if it's two different things? Torah is Torah's Moshe. And the Rambam quotes basically three psukim, one in Nitzavim, where it says, V'shav Hashem Alekech es Shevusecha, referring to Kibbutz Goliath. There it doesn't say specifically that there's an individual that will do it. There it says, V'shav Hashem Alekech es Shevusecha. So one may argue that perhaps it's just sort of there'll be an ingathering of the exiles, however it'll happen, not necessarily, but it'll be through a melech. And then he quotes the pasuk in Shoftim concerning Arei Miklat. But the pasuk that he quotes, which is a clear indication that there's no way else to explain it, but that there is going to be a melech, is in our parasha, Balak. And that the one who does not believe in the coming of Mashiach and denies the existence of a human king of flesh and blood who has a mother and a father, who is going to redeem Klal Yisrael, is denying a pasuk in Parshas Balak. Parshas Balak is unique in that the entire story in this parasha, no one witnessed. The whole story of Balak and Bilam on top of the mountain with the donkey that spoke, not one Jew saw that happen. Unlike all the other stories in Chumash where we witnessed it, Kriyas Yamsov, Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Mun, 99% of what it says in Chumash, Klal Yisrael actually saw with their own eyes. But the story of Balak and Bilam took place miles away on top of a mountain. The only way that we heard of that story and knew that the story happened is because Moshe Rabbeinu told it to us. Moshe Rabbeinu himself wasn't there either. So how did Moshe Rabbeinu know that it happened? Because Hashem told it to him. So if someone denies what it says in Parshas Balak, it's not only a pasuk in Torah, this is, you are denying the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, because whatever it says in this parasha, we only know is true, is because Moshe Rabbeinu told it to us as a Navi, that this happened. It's not just, we're not talking about the nevuah of Bilam now. Someone doesn't believe in the nevuah of Bilam, big deal. But what it says in Parshas Balak was said to Moshe Rabbeinu by Hashem himself, who he himself didn't witness it, and he delivered it to us. So this is the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, unlike other parshas and other stories in Chumash that we saw ourselves. So says the Rambam, the source for an individual that's going to take us out of Golas, and that is two people, says the Rambam. There are two Mashiachim. And he's not talking about Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. The Rambam doesn't discuss that. Is that really, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David are really one entity that together are going to bring the ultimate Geula. But he says that David HaMelech was the first Mashiach. David was first. He started the process. And Mashiach ben David, which is why he's called ben David, completes the process. David is the Mashiach Rishon. Mashiach is Mashiach Acharon. And as we say in Hashan, on the Hashan Rabbah, we say, David hu ba'atzmai. It's the neshama of David HaMelech. David Malka Mashiach. David is Mashiach. David HaMelech was Mashiach. In fact, we say it all the time. Every time we daven, we say he's Mashiach. How could it be? died so long ago, but yes, he is Mashiach. David Malka Mashiach. David Malka Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. So David and Mashiach both, or one, or whatever, however this works, we'll find out when it happens, both take care of the process of Geula. And that process is discussed here in Balak by Bilam, a goy, who tells Balak, who's afraid that Klal Yisrael are about to enter his land and take over Moav and destroy his country, like he says, Ato yelachachu hakohol es kol sviv oizeinu kilchoy chashor es yerek hasoda. They're going to come into my land and they're going to destroy it like an ox licks, like an ox consumes the vegetables of the field and then uproots it by the root. Nothing is going to grow. They're going to destroy my land. And Bilam tells him, what you're concerned about is not going to happen now. What you're concerned about is going to happen when their Mashiach comes. That's not now. You have nothing to fear. Erenu v'loy ata, he says. I see it, but it's not now. It's in the distant future. So really, Balak had absolutely nothing to fear. As I believe we mentioned last year, the whole story here was totally, really unnecessary. Had Balak just gone his merry way and not been so concerned about this, the Jews never would have entered his land anyway. They weren't allowed to enter the land of Moav. Until Mashiach comes, we're not allowed to enter Edom, Moav, or Ammon. So the Jews weren't coming anyways. This was all a fear of Balak, which was for no reason. It was because Hashem instilled him with that fear, so that he was going to hire Bilam, and we're going to be zoiche to the brachos of Bilam, and to the tremendous ahava of Hashem, as we read in Parshas Kisei, say, this parsha teaches us the unbelievable love that Hashem has for us. And even when Jews deserve to be cursed, chas v'shalom, or be angry at, Hashem doesn't allow it to happen. As Bilam says to Balak, Mo ekoiv lekaboy kel. I just can't curse these people. Even when they deserve to be cursed, they don't get cursed. Umo ezoim lezoam Hashem. I just cannot get that time when Hashem gets angry, as the Gemara says that Bilam knew the time when Hashem gets angry. And Chazal tell us that at this time, when Balak and Bilam were plotting this whole episode here, Hashem was angry at Klal Yisrael, but yet he did not allow the anger to affect Bilam's cursing. In other words, he did not allow Bilam to curse us because he was angry. In fact, what he did was, he calmed his anger, despite that he was angry at Klal Yisrael during this time, and these klolos turned into brachos. Vayar Balak, Barat Balak, see, Balak sees the future. Balak sees Ben Sipor. Ben Sipor, Sipor is the letters Pirates. Who's the Pirates? In Micha, Mashiach is called the Pirates, because he's going to break down the barriers. All the limitations, all the gevulos that exist as a result of Midas Hadin, and as a result of Chet Tzadas and Chet HaEgel, Mashiach is going to breach Melech Pirates Geder, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, that a king is allowed, when he travels in another country, to break through all the fences. He can go through someone else's field. He doesn't have to pay for it. The Mishnah says, no one can protest. That's the power of a king. A king doesn't have to stop at a red light. If the president in his caravan is going somewhere and they go past the red light, I'm sure he's not going to get a ticket. Melech Pirates Geder Ve'en Namachin Biyodoi. Mashiach is the Pirates, the ultimate Pirates. Ish Ben Parzi. And that's what Balak saw. Vayar Balak Ben Sipor. Hashem gave Balak the ability to see the future. Balak sees the future, the Ben Sipor, the Ben Pirates. Whereas it says in Zohar that Mashiach is rooted in the world that's called the Kan Sipor. Balak sees the future. Why does Balak see the future now? Because Klal Yisrael have conquered, as we read in the previous parasha, as we spoke about last week, the cities of Cheshbon, Baniram, Ovad, Cheshbon, Ad, Divon. Cheshbon, which was originally a city belonging to Moav, which was conquered by Sihon, is now in the hands of Klal Yisrael, meaning a taste of Geula, because we're not supposed to be taking anything from Moav yet. When Balak sees that part of Moav has been consumed by Klal Yisrael, Ovad, Cheshbon, Cheshbon is lost. And as we said last week, Vaniram Ovad Cheshbon Ad Divon is Begematria David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. Malchus Beis David is rooted in Moav. Divon is Begematria Ben David. Balak feels it. The Goyim in those days, even the Rishoyim, were tremendous, very, very knowledgeable. They knew much more than probably a lot of Jews know today. They knew all the mystical parts of the Torah. It says in Zohar that Balak had a tremendous deep knowledge of various aspects of Yiddishkeit, of spirituality. They knew a lot of things. I mean, Bilam was a Navi. Bilam was a very low life of a person, but he was a Navi. And he saw, it says, even what Moshe Rabbeinu saw. When the Pasuk says, well, like, come Navi, I be Yisrael, come Moshe, the Gemara says, but Be'umai Sa'olam, come. That by the Goyim, there was a Navi like Moshe, Bilam. And Balak was a Kaisein, Balak was a magician, Balak knew astrology, Balak saw a lot. And the fact that he saw that Klal Yisrael was somehow entering Moav, because they took over the cities of Cheshbon and Divon, as we read in the previous parasha. And Bilam had cursed Moav in the previous war with Sihon, that Moav will never have a kingdom. And that's why we notice that in Moav there's never a lasting kingdom. Balak was not a Moavite. Balak was a Midianite. Balak says the Chidah, he brings down an interesting Zayah, that Balak was Yisroi's son. Balak ben Sipor, he says that Sipor was one of Yisroi's names, not the seven names. The seven names that Yisroi had were the names that were given to him after he becomes Jewish. He says Sipor was the name that he had before. Then he says a different pshat, he doesn't like that pshat, how could you say that? And he says that Balak was a descendant of Yisroi, so he wasn't the son of Yisroi, but he's a descendant of Yisroi, he's a Midianite, he's not a Moavite. So why is he the king of Moav? Because Moav had no kings. They lost their kingdom. That was because Bilam cursed them. Vaniram Ovad Cheshbon Ad Divon. They lost their kingdom so that David could take over the kingdom. David, who is a descendant of Rus the Moavite, who Rus is a descendant of Balak. The Gemara says that because Balak sacrificed 42 Purim Ve'elim in this week's parasha, he was Zoicha that from him came Rus. Zaycha, that from him comes Rus. What did Balak do? Balak was slaughtering these animals to help Bilam curse the Jewish people. The Gemara learns out from here that even when someone does something Shalai Lishma, don't disregard it. This is not even Shalai Lishma. I mean, this is in order to annihilate the Jewish people. And yet, because of the Membeis Karbonais that Balak sacrificed, Rus comes out of him. But the truth is, it's really a punishment for Balak. Because what Balak wants Bilam to do, Balak wants Bilam to curse the Jews so that the Jews should not have a future. There should not be a Mashiach. The Goyim don't want us to be redeemed. The Goyim know, that anyone who studies the Bible knows, and the Christians know it, and the Muslims know it. They all know that the entire Bible, the entire Tanakh is filled with this concept, that the Jewish people have a future, and we're gonna last that. We're going to be there all the way at the very end, as we're still here now. The Karkar Kol B'nei Sheis, even in the time when it says that all the nations of the world will no longer be here, Klal Yisrael will be here, V'agoyim Lo Yischashov, all in this week's parasha. This was all a punishment for Balak. In fact, that's why the parasha is called Balak. Everything that Bilam tells Balak, including all the blessings and the prophecies, were the biggest punishment for Balak. Balak is hearing the opposite of what he wants to hear. He wants that the Jews should be cursed too, that they should have no kingdom, just as Moav was cursed. And he's the proof. He's not a Moavite, and he's the king of Moav, who was hired, taken from a different nation. In fact, at the end of the story, he's fired. Whoever heard of a king ever being fired? Not even impeached. He was actually fired. He was told to go back to Midian. They said, you failed. You hired Bilam, it didn't work. Leave. It says, Vayelech Hayashav Balak Lemkaimai. Balak goes back to Midian. So this was a temporary monarchy. This monarchy didn't last, and Moav never had a melech. We see this throughout Tanakh, and that's because Bilam cursed them. Aniram Ovad Cheshbon Ad Divon. But this was in order to bring about the true Malchus, which is the Hayus Al Hashem HaMelucha, which in this world manifests itself in Malchus Beis David. And here in this parasha, Bilam prophesizes about Malchus Beis David. And Bilam says that the Jewish people are going to have a king, and that kingdom is going to last. And there's going to be a son and a grandson all the way, and even today, because David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim, and in every generation there's someone who is from Malchus Beis David who will take on the mantle of leadership when that time comes. In every generation there has to be someone that's fit, that could be the Mashiach. Otherwise, how is it possible? And it's a human being, obviously, of flesh and blood. And the Pasuk says so. The Pasuk says, Dorach koichav mi Yaakov, v'kom shevet mi Yisrael, v'mochatz pasei moyo v'karka kol b'nei sheis, v'hoya edoim yireisha. The Pasuk tells us that a star will rise, a scepter, a koichav, a shevet, says the Rambam, one is David HaMelech, one is Mashiach, u'mochatz pasei moyov. In fact, Bilam is actually telling Balak, you have this fear of Moav being destroyed. It's not going to be now, but it's going to happen. David HaMelech is going to start, and the Mashiach is going to enter into the land of Moav. You're right, it's going to happen in the future. But not now. You don't have to worry about it right now. That was the only consolation for Balak, perhaps, that it wasn't going to happen right now. But otherwise, what Bilam is telling Balak is that if anyone has a Malchus, if anyone has a Malchus that's going to last, it's Klal Yisrael. V'sinase Malchusoi. Bilam says to Balak, V'yoroi me'agag Malchoi, the first king of the Jews, which was Shaul, actually, who was greater than Agag, the king of Amalek. V'sinase Malchusoi, his kingdom will get greater and greater and greater. Rashi says, V'sinase Malchusoi shel Yaakov. Yoise v'yoiseir. More and more and more, greater and greater and greater. Sheyavai achrav David u'shloimai till the end. So, Bayar Balak. Balak sees Ben Sipor. Yes, Balak sees the future. He sees that there's going to be someone who's going to be poirates the Gidrei Ha'olam. The opposite of what Bilam did. Bilam, it says, also was a poirates. Bilam breached the boundary that even the Goyim set for themselves. The Goyim set limits. It says, after the Mabul, they came to the conclusion that they have to stop all the immorality. Bilam, it says, gave them the permission to continue. Parts together ha'olam, they were gedurim ba'arayos. He gave them an eitzah lahafker atzmon leznus. As we see at the end of the parasha, he's the one who told all the benois moav and the benois midyan, go into the Jewish camp, mingle with them. That's the only way you're going to get their God to get angry at them. It's not going to happen if I curse. I can't curse them. Every time I open my mouth, I'm only blessing them. But if you get them to sin, then it will work. Balak and Bilam are trying very hard to cause intermarriage, to cause mingling between Klal Yisrael and the nations of the world. They want to destroy the Havdalah ben Yisrael la'amim. As we find at the beginning of Chumash, Vayara l'kim esor ki toy vayavdeil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu set a boundary in this world. He set limitations. There's a separation between light and darkness. There's a separation between Shabbos and weekday. And there's a separation between Yisrael l'amim, which we say every time we make Havdalah. HaMavdil ben Kodesh l'chol ben or l'choyishach ben Yisrael l'amim ben yemashvi l'sheshes imi ha'masa. Bilam and Balak are trying to make breakthroughs here, that this Havdalah should no longer exist. And Klal Yisrael should mingle with the nations. And if Klal Yisrael mingles with the nations, that's when the curses will befall them. So Bilam says to Balak again, Hen om levodot yishkoin, uvagoyim lo yischashav. These people are set apart. These people live alone. Hen om levodot yishkoin, uvagoyim lo yischashav, is b'gematria Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, David. These people are rooted in the Shiva Royim. These people are rooted, Hen meirosh, meirosh tsurim erenu, migvois ashurenu. They look at their forefathers and their foremothers and their mothers, the matriarchs and the patriarchs. They're rooted in such greatness, it's impossible for them to mingle with the nations. But at the end of the parasha, it does work somehow, because 24,000 Jews die in the Magefa. Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim. Klal Yisrael come to a city called Shittim, which Chazal say was called Shittim from Loshen Shtus. Ish ish ki sista ishtoi. The Gemara says that ain't Adam Oivra Avera Elim Kei Nichnas by Ruach Shtus. A person does not sin unless he has this feeling of foolishness, of stupidity, shitim, shtus. And they unfortunately, vayochel ha'om, liznois el b'nois moya, vatikreno la'om, they became balei keri, as the Gemara says, and they started worshipping idols, znus havoi dezora, l'susuru achru levavchem ve'achru einechem. And all this is in the parasha of Balak, the parasha of Mashiach, in the parasha where it talks about what's going to happen all the way at the end of time, in the parasha where it talks about the ultimate geula, we learn about the sin of Shittim, because that's exactly what's going to happen as the Geula comes. As the Geula comes, as we see this today clearly, the whole world is stooped in what we see at the end of the parasha here. In Vatikren Olam and Veishtachavu Leilehehem, in Znus and in Kfira and Yanei Amuna. Exactly what the generation that we live in now, that we see today, has fallen to the lowest. If any generation has fallen any lower, I don't know, but certainly to a very, very low level, as we read at the end of the parasha. But one man saves the day. And it's interesting that that man is not Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, as great as Moshe Rabbeinu is, Moshe Rabbeinu, which has forgot this halacha of Haboyel Aramis Kanoyen Toygen Boy. This is an interesting halacha that is different than most halachas, because in this halacha it says you can't ask what to do. It's on the spur of the moment. If you know what to do, you do it. If not, you can't. This halacha is beyond, it's higher than anything that's logical. It's sort of like Parah Aduma in a way. It makes sense. There's a logic to the mitzvah, but the way you perform it doesn't make sense. And Pinchas is the only one who remembers this halacha. Pinchas is a descendant of Yisroi, just as Balak is. They're cousins. Pinchas ends up killing Balak. We're going to read in the next few parashas, in the war of Midian, the five kings of Midian, together with Bilam, were killed by Pinchas. One of the five kings of Midian was Tzur. Tzur, tell us, Chazal, was Balak. Cosby, the daughter of Tzur. Cosby is Balak's daughter. Balak actually had his daughter go into the Jewish camp, and the original intention was that she should try to seduce Moshe Rabbeinu, as the Gemara says. But she got a hold of Zimri, who convinced her that it'll be better if you stick with me, because I'm from Shimon, who's older than Levi. You want to start up with Moshe Rabbeinu, who's from the third Shevet. I'm from Shimon, who's the second. So Cosby and Zimri sin, and they intermarry. And this is the Kanoyan pagan boy, Pinchas, remembers the halacha. He sees that no one knows what to do. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, when everyone is crying, as the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, but Arichas, and Rashi brings down the Gemara here at the end of the parasha. So Pinchas runs over to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he's so humble. He says to Moshe, didn't you teach us Beritcha me Har Sinai? When you came down from Har Sinai, you told us this halacha of Aboyel Aramis Kanoyan pagan boy. So he was expecting Moshe Rabbeinu to go and do it. Zimri was a very, very old man. According to the Chazal, Zimri was Shaul ben Akananis. He's the son of Shimon himself. So he has to be over 200 years old now. Moshe Rabbeinu is 120. He's also not a youngster, but he's even younger than Zimri. And Pinchas is much younger than Moshe. And Pinchas feels very funny to do this. He doesn't feel like he's fit to do this. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, Kraina de igrita il ha'ava pervanka. You're the one who reminded us of this halacha. You go ahead and do it. And Pinchas does it. Vayikach roimach. The pasuk tells us, "Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Akoyin." Pinchas saw, it says, "Ro'a Maisa v'niskar halacha." He saw what happened. He remembered the halacha because Pinchas is rooted in the Or HaGanis at the beginning of Chumash. Pinchas is like the Luchas HaRishonis. So when the Luchas HaRishonis was supposed to be given to us on Shavuos HaBetamis, which is next Sunday, we were all going to be on that level where we never forget anything of our learning. The Gemara says if we would not have made the egel, if the luchos were not broken on Shavuos HaBetamuz, no one ever would have forgotten anything. So then no one would have forgot this halacha either. It's interesting that the Gemara says that Moshe said this on his way down from Har Sinai, Pinchas told him, which means he said it on Shavuos HaBetamuz, because Shavuos HaBetamuz is when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai. And the connection is, HaBoyal HaRamas Kanoyin Poigenboy is a halacha that is from such a high place. It comes from the Or at the beginning of Chumash. Haboyel Aramis Kanoyin Poygan by his Begamatria Bereshis Bara Elohim. It's also equal to the words Kiloisi Shochach Mi Pi Zaroi, which means that's the Haftacha that the Torah gives, that Torah will never be forgotten. Yet when it comes to this halacha, it seems that it was forgotten because no one remembered it, not even Moshe Rabbeinu. But one man did remember it. Pinchas remembered it. Pinchas is Eliyahu HaNavi, rooted in Es Ha'or Ki Toi Vayavdel, which is Begamatria Tishbi. Tishbi Yatarets Kushias V'Ibayas. Eliyahu HaNavi doesn't forget. Eliyahu HaNavi is not from this world. It says here, Vayokam Mitoi Ha'eda. He rises from everyone else. He's above everyone else. Vayokam Mitoi Ha'eda. He's not part of he's not your average person. He's on a higher level in a certain way, not even than Moshe Rabbeinu. Pinchas, who is Eliyahu HaNavi, comes together with Mashiach. We always sing in the Malava Malka's Miras, Mashiach, Eliyahu, Mashiach, they go together. Eliyahu is the one who initiates, the one who's going to announce that the Geula has come. Eliyahu and Mashiach are one. Pinchas is a descendant of Yosef. And he's a descendant of Yisro, as Rashi tells us, Putiel. Elazar took from the daughters of Putiel, and his wife gave birth to Pinchas. Who was Putiel? Yisro or Yosef? Both, in other words, as Rashi says. So Pinchas is a descendant of Yisro on one side. He's a descendant of Yosef on the other side. So Pinchas has in him a nitzitz of Mashiach ben Yosef. And Mashiach ben Yosef does not tolerate evil. Mashiach ben Yosef is the one who's going to eradicate the sinners at the end of time. He's the one who's going to win the battles against Gog and Magog very soon. So Pinchas is doing that here too. Pinchas is going to wage the battle against Midian, which we'll see in the next parashiyos. And Pinchas kills Zimri and Cosby and stops the Magepha and prepares Klal Yisrael to enter Eretz Yisrael. Because if not for Pinchas, Chas v'Shalom, this would have been another Maisa HaEgel. What we have here is there's even worse, if you think, than the Maisa HaEgel. Because here you have not only Avodah Zorah, there's also Znus. Vayochel ha'om liznois el b'noi smoyav. There's intermarriage. Vayitzomed Yisrael v'va'al pe'oir. They're attached to the Avodah Zorah of pe'oir. Vayichar af Hashem b'Yisrael. But Pinchas calms down the anger of Hashem. Pinchas, who is rooted in the Oir HaGonuz, Pinchas is rooted in the Luchos HaRishonis before they were broken. Pinchas is rooted in what we spoke about last week, Adalo Yoda. This halacha of Haboyel Aramis Kanoyan Poigenboy is higher than Da'as. It's the Bechina of Lo Yoda. In fact, you cannot use your logic. You're not supposed to go and ask, because once you ask, the halacha doesn't apply anymore. Ain't Moirin Kane. So it's higher than Da'as. Bilam says that he knows Da'as Elyon, V'yodeya Da'as Elyon. A goy can only reach the level of Da'as. A goy cannot reach a level that's higher than Da'as. Bilam does know a lot. Yes, he knows a lot in the world of Da'as. And in that respect, perhaps he's equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Bilam cannot reach the level of Lo Yoda, Ad Lo Yoda. That Bilam and any goy cannot understand. Only a Yid understands that he doesn't understand. A guy thinks he knows everything, and especially when he's knowledgeable, especially if he's a Navi. So Bilam thinks he knows everything, and he tells Balak, I even know the exact time that Hashem gets angry, so I could be mechavein to that time, and then I'll be able to utter all my curses. V'yodeya Da'as Elyon. And he tells Balak to build 7 mizbechos 6 times, which 6 times 7 is, there's 42 karbonis that I brought here. 42 karbonis. He tells him to bring 7 animals, Shiva Parim v'Shiva Elim. Why? Again, this is in the realm of 7. 42, which is a factor of 7. 6 times 7 is 42. But not higher than that. A goy cannot reach 8, as we spoke many times. The number 8, that's the number that is associated with the future world, the number that is associated with the supernatural, which is Lamailam and Adas. That's only for Klal Yisrael, who are rooted in Hashem himself. And that's why it's such a terrible thing that a Yid could even contemplate living with a goy. Why would a Yid want to give this all up? Why would a Jew who is rooted in such a high level, a Jew who is connected with, is one with Hashem, a Jew who is connected to the Olam Hashemini and to the level of Adalah Yada, want to lower himself? And as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, that there's nothing worse than someone who's boil a baseil necha, someone who brings goyim into the world, and so on. He takes his kayach ha-hoylodo and brings it, and Rahman al-Islam brings down a guf, a neshama of a goy into the world. Zimri had his intentions. These weren't simple people. Reb Tzadok speaks about it. The Svarim speak about it, the Shem Shmuel and others, what Zimri really had in mind here. They all knew that in Mayav is the nitzitz of Mashiach. They wanted to bring the nitzitz of Mashiach out. They wanted to reveal that nitzitz. The problem was Moav, yes, but not Midian. In Midian, there's no more Kedusha. The last Midianite that had any spark of Kedusha in him at all was Yisroi. And Yisroi becomes a Jew. Pinchas is that nitzitz. Pinchas is that spark. You know, Yisrael is allowed to come into Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu marries Tzipora. And Midian has to be eradicated. We see in the parasha, in the next parasha, Tzorar es ha-Midianim, Nekoim es nikmas b'nei Yisrael, me es ha-Midianim. Once Pinchas is born, Midian has no purpose. Moav does have a purpose. Rus wasn't born yet. And as we mentioned last week, and this was what the Chassam Sofer makes the Cheshbon, I found it in other Sfarim too, on Rus, that Boaz married Rus on Shavasa B'Tamuz, which would mean that Malchus Beis David began to develop on Shavasa B'Tamuz. The very day that the Luchais were broken, the day that we were supposed to get the first Luchais, the day that we were supposed to enter into the world of Shmini, which is what the world that Mashiach is going to bring us to, that's the day when Malchus Beis David begins. That's the day that Boaz marries Rus, and Rus now carries the seed of David. Oyved, Boaz, Yishai, David, as we read at the end of Rus, Shivasa B'Tamuz, which is the completion, the final day of Matan Torah, because Matan Torah was on Shavuos, but the day that it was supposed to be completed was Shivasa B'Tamuz. It never happened. Matan Torah has not been completed yet, because of Chet HaEgel. That's why we're waiting for Teirasei Shal Mashiach. And right before Shivasa B'Tamuz, when Boaz marries Rus, we read Balak, who is the great-great-grandfather of Rus. In Balak is a nitzutz of Malchus Beis David. He's the one who's trying to get Bilam to curse the Jews that they shouldn't have any Malchus, that they shouldn't have any everlasting Malchus. And that everlasting Malchus is in him. He doesn't even know that. That the irony of this is that whenever the Goyim, this is Hashem's sense of humor, whenever the Goyim try to take away something from the Jewish people, they end up doing it. Like we know with Paroi, Paroi wanted so badly that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't be born, and when he was born, that he should be cast into the water, and he should be drowned. Did he know that he's going to actually be the step-grandfather of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to grow up in his palace on his lap? And this is the very child that he tries so hard to make sure that will never have the opportunity to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, and yet he's raising him. He's raising Moshe Rabbeinu in the palace, or Lahavdla with the Shvatim. The Shvatim say that they're going to make sure that Yosef will never be able to rule over them, as it seems to indicate from his dreams. Hamalech Timlech Aleinu, and Marshal Timshal Banu. We'll make sure it'll never happen. We'll sell him as a slave, and in Egypt especially, slaves cannot rule. It's part of the constitution of Mitzrayim. But because they sold him to Mitzrayim, that's exactly why Yosef ruled. Yosef would not have ruled if they would have kept him in Eretz Yisrael. Never would have happened. They made it happen. Paroi, by ordering that the babies be thrown into the water, so that's why Basya pulls him out, brings him home. So Paroi ends up raising Moshe Rabbeinu and preparing him for future Malchus. Moshe Rabbeinu learnt from the palace of Paroi how to rule. Same thing with Balak. And that's why the parasha is called Balak. This is the punishment of Balak. It's like we're laughing in his face. Balak is trying to annihilate the Jewish people spiritually by cursing them, by having them intermarry, which even at the end of the parasha they do to some degree. Right, but Balak doesn't see Pinchas and what Pinchas is going to do. But Balak wants Bilam to do more than that. Balak wants Bilam to make sure that just like Moav was cursed, that it will never have a kingdom that will last, the Jews will never have a kingdom that will last. Not realizing that part of Bilam's prophecy to Balak, telling him what's going to happen by Acharis Hayomim, is that only the Jewish people are going to have an everlasting kingdom, V'sinasei Malchusei, and that kingdom comes from Balak, of all people. Balak, the descendant of Yisrael, and Balak, who is the grandfather of Eglon, who is the father, some say, or the grandfather, great-grandfather of Rus, who David comes from. And this we read right before Shavasa B'Tamuz, the day that Boaz marries Rus, which means in Shavasa B'Tamuz is already rooted the Yeshua. The Yeshua is already there. What happened Shavasa B'Tamuz causes that Klal Yisrael had to go at least temporarily through the Hepech, the opposite of Nitzchias. We lost this eternity for a while that we were supposed to experience by receiving the first Luchais. Yerushalayim, which is the city of Netzach, the eternal city, as the Gemara calls Netzach, Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim. The walls around Yerushalayim were breached on Shavasa B'Tamuz. The Torah was burnt on Shavasa B'Tamuz. Menashe set up an idol on Shavasa B'Tamuz, which brought us, and especially beginning with the Chet HaEgel, to be subjected to this world and not yet be zoicha to the future world. But already in Shavasa B'Tamuz is rooted the future world. Because Malchus Beis David is going to bring us to the future world. That's the job of Mashiach, to bring us into the Olam Hashmini. And in Sefer Yetzirah we are told that Tammuz was created with the letter Ches. Ches is 8. Because Tammuz is originally supposed to be the month that's supposed to take us into the Olam Hashmini, had we received those first Luchos and Shavasa B'Tamuz. But it will happen. It will happen when Malchus Beis David will be revealed. And Reuven was Zeicha, Reuven, who is, corresponds to Tammuz, even though he lost the kingdom, but he was Zeicha, that in his month, which is Tammuz, Malchus Beis David begins. And that's on Shavasa B'Tammuz. It's interesting that there are two times during the year that we read in Chumash about the Acharis Hayomim and about Mashiach. One is now in Tammuz, where Bilam says, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, the Acharis Hayomim, which is our time, and in Vayechi. Right, in Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu says, Hey Osfu Va'agidu Lachem Esa Asher Yikra Eschem Ba'acharis Hayomim. It's really amazing if you think about it. Why didn't the Rambam bring proof to Mashiach from Parshas Vayechi, which is before this, where it says over there too, and says it pretty clear, Lo Yosser Shevet Mi Yehuda U'mechaykik Mibain Raglov Ad Ki Yavoy Shiloi. And Shiloi, as Rashi says in Chumash Pshuta Shal Mikra, is Melech HaMashiach Shehamlucha Shaloi. So it says it before Bolok. The Rambam doesn't bring Parshas Vayechi. Probably the answer is, halachically at least, that we don't bring proof of anything before Matan Torah. And since the Rambam is telling you that if a person does not believe in Mashiach, he's a kaifer in Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu, so the proof has to really be from after Matan Torah. Perhaps. But what's interesting is, Vayechi we always read in the month of Teves. Bolok we always read in the month of Tammuz. Teves and Tammuz are sister months. What Teves is in the winter, Tammuz is in the summer. Teves is the fourth month from Tishrei, and it's a difficult month, it's a cold month, a month that has a fast day, Asara B'Teves. And Tammuz is the fourth month from Nisan, it's a difficult month, it's a hot month, a tragic month. Shavasa B'Tammuz, they're parallel. Whatever happens in Teves happens in Tammuz. As the Zohar says, the months of winter and the months of summer are parallel one to the other. Nisan to Tishrei, Cheshvan to Iyar, and so on. And in both Teves and Tammuz, we learn about the Acharis Hayomim. The only two times in Chumash that it says Acharis Hayomim is Vayechi and Bolok, both read as we begin what is called the Acharis of the year. Teves is the beginning of the last quarter of the year, if you count it from Nisan. Tammuz is the last quarter of the year, if you count from Tishrei. So this is the Acharis of the year now. We're getting ready for the end of the year now. Tavshin Samaches is coming to a close. And we're getting ready for Tavshin Samach Tes, V'moitzoi Shviz. As the Gemara says, V'moitzoi Shviz, Ben David Ba. Tavshin Samach Tes is B'gematria Eliyahu HaTishbi. We should be Zoichetaka that in Tavshin Samach Tes we should see Eliyahu HaTishbi, who is Pinchas. The Pinchas of our parasha, Vayar Pinchas Ben Elazar Ben Aaron HaKoyen, this is Eliyahu HaTishbi. So perhaps the Torah, by talking to us about the Acharis Hayomim and talking to us openly and explicitly about that there's going to be a Goyel, a Redeemer, a Messiah, Jewish Messiah, true Messiah, in Parshas Vayechi and in Parshas Bolok, in these two months, Teves, Asara B'Teves, which is the Aschalta, the Paranusa, the beginning of the punishment, the siege of Yerushalayim, and Tammuz, which continues what starts in Teves. Tammuz is the next fast day, which is related to the Churban, which is when the walls of Yerushalayim were cracked, that Tibok HaHoir. In fact, in Navi it says it was Tes Tammuz, which is this Shabbos. This Shabbos is Tes Tammuz. The Gemara asks, so when was it? Tes or Yud Zayin? And there seems to be a contradiction in the Pesukim, because one Pasuk says it was the 9th, one Pasuk says it was the 17th. So the Gemara says, one answer, that it was, one was the first Beis HaMikdash, one was the second. Yerushalmi says, hard to say this, but Yerushalmi says it, Kilkul Chashbonos, that there was a confusion, there's a mistake, sort of, they miscalculated, they're off by a few days. Nevertheless, Tes Tammuz is mentioned in Halacha, some people fasted on Tes Tammuz for that reason. So, both Teves and Tammuz, where such tragedies occurred concerning the Churban, the Parshiyos that we read during that time are about the Geula. Because these days are really days of Geula. These are really days of eternity. These are days, months in which such great things were supposed to happen, as we spoke Teves time. And now Tammuz, which is clearly that way. One doesn't have to go too deep to see it, because on Shavasa B'Tammuz we were supposed to receive those first luchos, which the Gemara says that if we would have, the Torah would not have been forgotten, including this halacha at the end of the parasha of Haboyel Aramas Kanoyan Poiganboy. And no nation could have ever had any rule over Klal Yisrael. The Gemara uses the expression in Erevin, Ein Uma V'Loshoin Shoylet Esbahin. In other words, it would never have been possible for intermarriage to take place. The only reason why it's possible that a goy could have a shlita over a yid, whether it's persecuting the Jew or even intermarrying with the Jew, is only a result of shviras haluchos. And chet ha'egel, which is considered like loisinof, it's like a man living with another woman. He's married and he's living with another woman. He's married to Hashem, but he took the egel. We were just about to consummate, the marriage is just about to be completed. Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down from Har Sinai with the luchais, with the ksuba, with the tenoyim, with everything. And Klal Yisrael is already with someone else. What about the egel? So the truth is, the marriage, not only Matan Torah never really was completed, but the marriage of Klal Yisrael and Hashem never really finished, never really happened, because Chet HaEgel caused this terrible separation and Golus, which we're still in today. So that's why it's not going to happen until Mashiach comes, until the future, the near and immediate future, when we're going to be Zeichet to Torah Seishel Mashiach and to the Luchais HaRishonais, and when Shivasa B'Tamas becomes the day that it was supposed to be. Just as we read at the end of the parasha that Klal Yisrael fell into that which is called shtus to the umazah. There's also shtus to kedusha. What does shtus really mean? Shtus means when you do something that's illogical. A person sins; it's considered illogical. He's not thinking. Did you think? Did you realize what you're doing? Then later he says, "Oh, what did I do it for? Just for some immediate gratification." And then later he feels bad. So it's shtus. There's also shtus to kedusha. Shtus to kedusha is when a Jew serves Hashem in a way that also defies logic. He serves Hashem beyond his limit, beyond his limitations. He's maisa nefesh. That's what Pinchas did. Pinchas used shtus to kedusha to fight the shtus that Klal Yisrael fell into, and that's the way we're going to bring the geula in our time. We have to utilize this shtus to kedusha and serve Hashem in ways that defy logic, even when we'd rather not, even when logically we think it's better not to, or we're lazy, or why, we have so many questions, but we push and we do it anyway. That's the shtus to kedusha, that's Pinchas, that's true kanois, true zealotry, and that's going to bring the geula. Just as Pinchas ended the Magefa, and Pinchas helped prepare Klal Yisrael for their entry into Eretz Yisrael, and he went with them into Eretz Yisrael and remained with them, and he's Eliyahu HaNavi, as we'll see in next week's parasha, Vayechapar al Bnei Yisrael forever. And then nice and nice brisi shalom. So to an hour time, we should all be zeichet to see Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach Tzidkenu, and be zeichet this year, Shavasa B'Tamas, to feast, not to fast, and to see the Luchas HaRishonis with our own eyes.